The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yes! Go Cowboys!
Live from training camp, this is a special presentation of DallasCowboys.com radio.
For the 43rd time in Cowboys franchise history, they make the trek to Southern California. Training camp 2022 is officially here, presented by American Airlines. We also had the opening press conference this morning, and we're going to break down all the storylines for you right here on DallasCowboys.com. Alongside Mickey Spagnola, Nick Eatman, two of the greatest when it comes to covering the Dallas Cowboys. I'm Kyle Yeomans, glad to be with you. And I would love to make the joke just right now in terms of combined camps between you guys and then the age, but let's not talk about it. Let's not go at all, because it's 37 for you, Mick, right?
Correct.
This is 25 for you, Nick, right? Yes.
Right.
This is 2 for me. So, there we go. Let's just get that out of the way. We'll talk about it at the moment. Plenty to talk about with Jerry Jones.
You think it matters that Micah Parsons has been here at 2 camps? And, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of somebody that's been around.
The second time CeeDee Lamb's been out here.
Right. I was trying to find, like, the old guy. It would have been, like, LP Lattiser, but he's not there anymore. I don't even know.
Probably Zach Martin.
Tyron.
It's Tyron. Yeah. But no one makes a joke about Tyron because he could –
it's a bad idea.
Hurt you. or himself. So, no thanks. But, yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. You're here, right?
Boy, are we glad to be here.
What's the temperature right now? You're usually up on top of that.
It was 58 this morning when I went out for my bike ride. Right now it says 67.
I saw you on your bike. Seriously, you are leading the Tour de France. Like, you have this bright
yellow jersey.
Seriously, like a neon yellow. Like, you're not getting hit. I know. I get it. It's
yeah.
Funny.
As a matter of fact, I think I was underdressed too. I needed another layer this morning. It's chilly.
Yeah. I'm sure everybody in Texas right now is shaking their fists at us.
Don't care.
They're like, stop talking about the weather. But, I mean, that was the first thing Jerry talked about.
And yeah.
It's a big thing. I mean, that's the reason, one of the biggest reasons they come out to Oxnard. It's for the weather. It's fantastic. We're in a tent at the moment, and we're not sweating, and that's already a huge win. But we don't have a ton of time. We've got about 30 minutes with you guys on the website. Of course, the official podcasts start tomorrow. We've got the break coming up tomorrow. Then Talking Cowboys will begin on Thursday. So we've got shows coming along the way. But this is just a quick overview of what happened in the opening press conference, what we've heard lately. And Mickey, I'll start with you on this. But what were some of the things that stood out to you earlier this morning?
Well, we finally got them to, I think, comprehensively explain some of the off-season moves they made, or I guess didn't make.
Yeah.
Deciding to move on from Amari Cooper, Lael Collins, Randy Gregory, some of the reasons why, and they emphasize the fact that they're giving opportunities to young guys to step up. I think it's somewhat of a slippery slope that, you know, their projections have to be right. And I don't know that, you know, you bat 1,000 on sometimes these roster decisions, but for this team to at least do what they did last year, they got to be right. And they talked about this being the land of opportunity. So there's going to be some guys that need to step up in this training camp.
Same question. What stuck out to you?
You know, I thought Jerry doesn't hold back anything really at this age. You know, he's almost 80. You know, he's just like, I don't know.
Got a birthday coming up,
win.
Right?
I've got to win, and we've got to win, and we got to be viable in the playoffs. And you know, I mean, he basically put 3 players out there and almost ran them over on the bus. I mean, putting them under the bus. I mean, you know, he not only said is you're not available, you know, availability is the key, and these guys weren't available. And when we say 3 guys, I'm assuming it's, you know, Amari.
3 guys that aren't here anymore.
And Gregory. But, you know, he talked about availability and why they weren't available, and that was a big issue and all that. But, you know, I think, you know, for the most part, you know, he's always going to be optimistic. And he said that this team, he feels, is in better shape than you know, last year's team at this time. He also said this team in 2002 could win a Super Bowl, and they went and lost to Houston in the expansion team. So, you know, he's going to say that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, But, you know, I think he believes that those defections, those free agent losses or whatever you want to say, he doesn't think is going to hinder them this year.
He thinks it's addition by subtraction, ultimately what he said up on the podium today.
Yeah.
But do you – when you look at the roster, I mean, on paper, it doesn't look as talented as opposed to what you did last year. But you also added pieces, young guys who expanded into bigger roles. You talk about Micah Parsons. Of course, Trayvon Diggs taking the step that he did. These guys did take a step up. Do you feel like there are those guys on this roster, too, that can do something similar in 2022 as opposed to what you saw last year at this time?
That's kind of what they're counting on,
what they're asking for, right?
Yeah. And they're not even, banking on it. It has to happen. They have to have a Micah Parsons type of rookie. Boy, that's scary to say because they only come around
that's
once every 40 years or so. But they also need a Jayron Kearse. They need a guy that's going to come out of nowhere and just say, all right, I'm going to take over. And then they also need Kearse to have a great year. They don't need anyone to have a Leighton Vander Esch, step back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because this guy was going to be—he was going to hunt wolves for the next decade.
Lakey, Jalen, yeah, I mean, there were a couple guys like that.
Pro Bowl rookie, right?
Jalen Smith too. So you don't need any bad. You know, it's all got to kind of work out. And if it does, then yeah, the sky's the limit. But we've been around too, like you said, all those times. It hasn't always worked out.
It doesn't. They need Oso Digizua to continue on his path. That he had as a rookie, right? You get Neville Gallimore back. You didn't have him hardly the entire season.
Sure.
Diggs has got to continue to get better. You're kind of counting on that. CeeDee Lamb has to continue improving. And one of the things that, doesn't come up in off-season moves is the fact that, number one, they did sign Michael Gallup, but you got to compensate for him missing maybe the first month of the season.
Sure.
So that's another thing that they, from a roster standpoint, they have to come up with. They're counting on a Malik Hooker, Donovan Wilson, improving over what they did last year. Some of this has got to take place, not to mention Terrence Steele and either Connor McGovern or Tyler Smith stepping up and getting better. Even Biadasz, he's got to take the next step. He was a first-year starter last year in the NFL. I know he started some his rookie year, but it wasn't that much. So these guys have to progress. That's what I keep saying we're coming to training camp for, to find out.
And another scary part is all those things, there's so many question marks. That this football team is going to play a lot of close games. Mm-hmm. They just are. They're not good enough to blow anyone out. I don't think. I mean, they will. They'll some. They play in the NFC East.
And we forgot the one thing.
But it's going to come down to close games. And when close games, it comes down to what? And what are you going to say, Mick?
Kicker.
Yep, that's one of the biggest question marks here as well. And didn't really get anything when it came to the kicker and the situation going on there from press conference wise, but kind of going back to what you were saying, there's a long list of names that you're expecting to develop, that you're expecting to take that next step. And there was an extra, big time hope. Yeah. Hope is not necessarily a strategy, right?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of hope and there's a lot of expectations around those guys taking that next step, which also squarely lies on your coaching staff. Mm-hmm. And Jerry, of course, started the press conference by saying, I have confidence in Micah in Mike McCarthy.
Him too. Yeah.
Everybody has confidence in Micah Parsons, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. Mike McCarthy, they have confidence in. He's here because he believes that they can win a Super Bowl with Mike and ultimately tried to put some more confidence in him and push the chips all in there. How much pressure is on this coaching staff, Mick, to get that right and to have those guys develop? Because ultimately a lot of that relies on what the coaching staff
does. And I think, there's always pressure on the coaching staff, right?
Sure.
No one ever goes to training camp thinking, okay, well, this is my honeymoon.
Kind of hang out a little bit.
And
ride the bike.
But even more so this time because, as we just outlined, there's more things to overcome. There's more things that they have to improve players and they have a hand in that, especially the position coaches. Can you develop the wide receivers? They got a new wide receiver coach, Prince. Can you develop further at the tight end position? The offensive line coach may be under the biggest gun. to bring that unit back together. And, you know, the hard thing, Nick, for offensive line, and we know this, they need time on duty to be cohesive. And in these training camps, the way it's built, you ain't got that time. You get six padded practices here, three more with other teams. You just don't get that much time. And the offensive line is going to be a big part of this, and they got to replace, you know, basically, I'm going to say two starters. We're assuming Steele, you know, was out there, but he's still now a full-time starter along with what happens at left guard. And a backup tackle if indeed Tyler Smith ends up the starting guard.
Yeah, and that's why there's no time to have any competition at center or in any of those positions on the O-line. Continuity is more important at this point. So, you know, you can they like to throw Matt Farniak's name out there a lot, but, like, when? Like, when is he going to really compete? Like, it's more important to get these guys, get a cohesive group together than it is to, like, you got this rep, you got this rep. Like, I don't see that happening. It hardly ever happens on the offensive line. The only way that's going to happen is if somebody gets hurt, knock on wood, but then another guy comes in and just takes over.
You saw it a little bit last year with Connor Williams specifically, moving from left guard over to center and kind of going back and forth.
Yeah, but he never got a chance to play center.
But I think
that was just...
It was an experiment. It was
cosmetic.
It was too late. But that's kind of my point, is saying with such limited time on the offensive line, are you going to have time to throw Connor McGovern out there in front of first-round pick Tyler Smith and say, all right, rookie, earn your job? Or is it more beneficial to put a guy out there and say, let's get our five guys up there that we know are going to be the most talented?
Okay, it's funny you say that about five guys, because are you – I mean, no one seems to talk about this, but are we sure that Tyler Smith isn't a better right tackle than Terrence Steele? Like, it really would come down to McGovern versus Steele at what they do, guard versus tackle. But, I mean, if the five best guys, it might include McGovern, it might include Tyler Smith.
So my follow-up question to that is, with six guys that could be in the mix, do they have enough time to figure that out?
Well, I think Jerry said it, and he repeated it. He said it's always a projection. It's always a projection, meaning making the moves they made and relying on young guys to step up. Well, as Nick pointed out, it's going to be a projection even when they finish training camp, right? Because how much are you going to see? And, you know, for the first time, they're only going to have three preseason games to check this out, in-game stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be a huge projection, and, you know, maybe we don't find out till September 11th.
How much is it going to rely on those practices? I mean, of course, every practice out here is important to a certain extent, but how much more important are the practices against Denver, and then in the two of which against Los Angeles before they play the Chargers after taking a little trip down to Irvine? How much are you going to get out of those practices more so than what you would get out of these here in Oxnard?
I don't know. I mean,
he kind of talked about maybe getting the veterans.
I think it's big.
I think it's big. It's big because you're hitting somebody else instead of your own guys, so you can get more reps in, maybe. But again, they're not going to tackle, right? They're not going
to
play football.
Not supposed to. Saw a little bit of the not supposed to variety.
Not supposed to fight either, but you know.
I mean, honestly, I'm going to say no, not a whole lot.
Okay,
because Matthew Stafford didn't look that great out here. Maurice Kennedy was making interceptions. Connor Williams was blocking Aaron Donald and fighting with him. You know, I don't think the Rams looked that great out here. So nothing was when you fast forward to the end of the season, like nothing that we saw out here really played out in the way that it was supposed to. So
yeah.
I think, you know, to Mick's point, you know, yes, it's good to go out there and hit someone else, but you know, stay healthy and you know, do travel, and you know, you get on the bus and you go and you do that and you get in a different environment, and you know, it's that kind of thing, because that's what happens a lot. You're always changing environments.
So what we're saying is, don't overreact to what you guys see here reported throughout training camp. Stay in the loop, but just don't overreact. That's the biggest thing, because things that happened last year
aren't necessarily always going to end through the regular season. I think the biggest thing that stuck out to me last year was the growth of CeeDee Lamb and Trayvon Diggs, and then they really kind of went up against each other throughout the majority of the practices, and that kind of came into fruition. Micah Parsons emerging. There are things to take from it.
Okay, that kind of goes back to my point. I thought one of the most disappointing things was CeeDee Lamb not being this guy out here. Like, the guy we saw at training camp every day, I thought was going to be, like, gold jacket worthy, which he still might be. He's a young player. But what I'm saying is that he didn't just go and moss people like he was doing in camp every day.
Sure.
You know, like he had a good year. Made all Pro Bowl, you know, alternate, whatever. He made a Pro Bowl. But, the guy that we thought we were seeing out here in Oxnard, he was beating Trayvon Diggs, who actually turned out to be
an
all-pro.
Yeah.
So as good as he was, we thought CD was about to be great. He had a highlight catch every single practice. And just didn't take that to the games like I thought he would.
That provides me with the perfect segue.
Sweet.
Because one of the biggest conversations out of this, and we mentioned it very briefly in the first part of this podcast, availability was a buzzword throughout the press conference. Jerry Jones talked about it specifically. And part of the reason why they did provide some background on the offseason moves and what they had is they feel that almost obligated to give these young players a chance to step up and into those roles. You've seen it in the NFL's history. I've put this out there before, but Andre Johnson was there in Houston while DeAndre Hopkins was a rookie and a second-year player. Third-year DeAndre Hopkins was one of the best receivers in the league. That was his first year without Andre Johnson on the roster. Elevation from young players happens through opportunity. There are tons of guys getting that opportunity. CeeDee Lamb is one. Without Amari Cooper in the fold, can he be a featured part of this offense?
That's what we're here to find out. You know, can he do it? You know, let's not minimize the fact that he had, 79 catches.
Yeah.
You know, and I wrote about this a little while ago, but I kind of was with Nick, kind of sucking air through my teeth going, okay, is he a number one receiver? And then I saw this 9-minute clip of his highlight catches from last season, and I'm going, oh, my God. You know, he had some spectacular stuff. Maybe not enough, not like we saw here, but it was 9 minutes worth. So he's going to get that opportunity. Can he do it? Look, we saw Jayron Kearse.
Yeah.
When he got here, I thought he was a special teams guy.
Me too.
Right?
We all did.
Backup guy, special teams.
Right? I thought he was in the NBA.
One year, and it was minimum. And all of a sudden, he leaves the team in tackles. And, you know, if you talk to him, it's like, well, I got an opportunity.
Yeah.
If you talk to Leighton Van Der Esch when he came on that last quarter, third of the season, it was his answer was, well, when you play me a full game, that's what you get.
Get a chance. Talk about Leighton real quick. You said that. Leighton had 13 tackles in the playoff game against the 49ers.
Yeah.
The way the 49ers play, obviously, they run the football. And they didn't win the game. I get that. But he was a lot more active in that game. When you look at the schedule, you look at the teams that they're facing, especially in the AFC North, you know, the Ravens, the Browns, the Bengals. I don't know if they would call them a running team, but Steelers, you know, that's what they're going to try to do is run the ball. Those type of old school games, you know, even the Packers and Vikings and Bears and all that, I think Leighton has a chance to really turn things around because he's going to play more games that are kind of better suited for his style, like we saw in that playoff game. I think the tackle numbers will go up, and I think he'll benefit from that.
See, I'm glad you mentioned the playoff game because I had gone through and I looked at the last, I don't know, four games or so and added up his tackles. And they went up.
Mm. Yep.
But I forgot the playoff game.
Yeah, 13.
And 13 would go put him close to 25 tackles over those last few games if you include the playoff game.
Yeah.
And he was right when he said it. I think he said it at the home run derby deal. And somebody asked him about, you know, what was the difference. And he goes, because I played more.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you get if you put me on the field. I said, good for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Now you're going to get the chance.
Yeah, he's going to get out there.
Do you feel confident about the linebacker room at the moment? Because, I mean, we just saw at least a couple hours ago Julio Jones, another veteran, signing with Tampa Bay. He's going to play for the Buccaneers. You'll see him week one. Do you feel good about
linebackers?
That? Because linebackers, yes, there are veterans out there. Is kind of
oh,
what
I see what you're saying.
There are veterans out on the open market. There's been some conversation about the Anthony Barrs of the world, a couple other names that have kind of been thrown in the mix. But is that a place where you feel comfortable, or is that a spot like last season when they added a Malik Hooker that they could maybe go and address while they're here at camp?
Well, you know, Steven told us that, you know, this is the year where you got to go. These young guys have got to step up and do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know what Jabril Cox's situation is going to be to start
might be
off.
Pup, who
yeah,
knows?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be key.
Yeah. Like, he's a guy on that. Luke Gifford, you know, Malik Jefferson. I'm not Malik Jefferson.
Yeah. What is Malik Jefferson?
I was like, yeah, Malik Jefferson. I mean, guys
that's
like that.
That's an addition that could be a low-risk, high-reward payout if he plays better.
How many teams has it been on?
No,
in
I know.
Four
Trust
years,
me.
Like five teams in 4 years.
Still
or so?
A low risk, high reward
well,
if
which,
he pays off.
Well, but which, yeah, which one is it going to be for him?
Right.
Is he going to show whatever he shows to get them to go? I'll sign him.
There we go.
Or is he going to show whatever that's like? You know what? Yeah, that's why them cut him.
Yeah,
that's why Jabril Cox, I think, is the key thing. You know, he's got to be good. He's got to be ready to go. And he may go on PUP. Michael Gallup will be on PUP. Damone Clark will be on PUP to start the year. But if Cox can give them what they thought he was when they drafted him, then they've got three solid guys there. You know, I don't know about after that. But, yeah, they really sort of need him out there. And that's one of the reasons why when you get this argument about, you know, putting Parsons at defensive end.
Yeah.
Okay, who's playing linebacker?
That's the big question. It's a huge question. Now,
plus he had the majority of his sacks were at linebacker, not defensive end.
Sure, coming off the edge, blitzing, et cetera. Now, with about 3 minutes left here, I want to give you guys an opportunity. Anything that we didn't hit, we kind of covered a lot of ground. We've been circling quite a bit here over these first 30 minutes of podcast here at training camp, but anything that you didn't hit, Nick, from the press conference that we probably should hit on here?
I'm trying to go back and think about what we just wrote
what
about.
What we talking about? And talked
yeah.
About.
I honestly, I mean, I think we covered a lot right there. I mean,
what about
I
the identity of the team?
You know,
I don't have one.
Yeah. I mean, they said they want to be a tough team. If you didn't say that, then we would all be – they would all be talking here. They would line up, you know, if you said, well, you know, that's not the type of team we want to be. Of course they want to be a tough team. They want to be a smart team.
Disciplined with penalties.
Team. Last year they weren't disciplined.
Nope.
I think they were tough. I do think they were a tough team. I mean, I think the narrative here since they lost to the 49ers was that all, you know, it was a bad year. I mean,
they got bullied.
It's still a talented team. This is a good football team, and they need the breaks to go their way. There are some question marks. There's question marks with every team, but I think that this still has the makings of a good team. If Micah Parsons, I think, is the absolute key to everything. If Micah Parsons is the best football player on the field like he was in almost every game they played, then I think that they have a really, really good chance to have a lot of success this year.
And then the other factor is, and I wrote this down, 38 minutes and 30 seconds into the press conference, we got the first mention of Dak Prescott.
Wow.
He's the key to this whole thing, right?
Yeah. If Mike is the key on one side, Dak is certainly the key on the
other
side.
But he's the key the whole thing, because if he's not good on offense, the defense is going to suffer. And so that's one of the reasons why you sit there and go, okay, one of the reasons this team went 12-5 last year was Dak Prescott.
Yep.
He had the third best quarterback rating in the NFL last year. He threw for a franchise record 37 touchdowns in a single season. That's what this is all about. And finally, Jerry said it, right? He said, the reason we feel this way is because of Dak Prescott. So
and the guy to his right.
Yeah.
That's what he kept saying.
Yeah.
Which was Mike McCarthy.
Which was Mike.
I thought he was handing off to Zeke.
Well, you haven't said it at all, you know, about the guy to your right. So
darn. To be fair, I haven't said anything either. So
he's given nothing to the right.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, we'll figure it out. But we've got plenty more to come here on DallasCowboys.com. This is just the first taste. This is your appetizer for the entire slate of content that we're going to have here over the next month from Oxnard, California. Of course, Mickey Spagnuolo will join Rob Phillips and I on Talking Cowboys starting on Thursday. But tomorrow, we've got Nick Eatman, Amber Garcia, Derek Ingleton on the break. So there's plenty to come.
And maybe,
up.
And maybe another guest.
You think so?
And we might replace Hellman tomorrow.
Ooh,
we'll see.
That's a tease. How about that? Well, I'm not even allowed to say
Derek
it.
Derek actually teased it a while ago. Yeah, starting on the break. Yeah, we do have our fourth member will be joining us
Keep that
tomorrow.
In mind.
Yeah.
So tomorrow, what time are we getting started tomorrow? It's 11 a.m. Central,
yeah,
correct?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock here.
In the morning.
11 o'clock Central, DallasCowboys.com. For Mickey Spagnuolo and Nick Eatman, I'm Kyle Yeomans. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about you, Cowboys? Yeah!